It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
Alrighty, we are back. You're back. I'm back. Pip is not really back. Pip's in the room, and she's a mess on the couch, so she's not stepped up to the mic. Maybe at some point we'll get Pip. We should be about 25 minutes or so away from Joe, or not, so it'll just be more of me and you. Again, I don't have the computer in front of me, so if you are one of my Facebook friends and you want to say something, I guess that's a good way to reach me, if there's something you want to add, because I can't see the chat room right now, to be honest. So we shall move on. This was actually a story that Pip blogged about. It's about Hollywood Walk of Fame, and should stars be taken off the Hollywood Walk of Fame? So here's the article, and here's the thing. Since the Me Too movement came to light, there's been growing sentiment to remove certain stars from the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Because you got to remember, back in the day, when this whole Hollywood Walk of Fame started, it was acceptable for men to be philanderers. The catching couch was a known thing. It doesn't make it right, but everybody just accepted it. So it wasn't really held against you. And then, I guess, as we've evolved, I would call it evolution, we frown upon those things. You can't do that anymore. You can't treat women like animals unless you pay a certain price and there's agreed upon stipulation. You don't get it in writing, but usually you pay a woman, she does certain things. But other than that, you can't just treat women like animals. There's rules. There's laws. But anyway, Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, the arbiter for who does and doesn't get a star, has steadfastly resisted efforts to remove any from the 15-block walk, arguing that nearly 2,700 trod-upon brass and terrazzo pentagrams are... That's like they're calling him Satan. The stars are pentagrams. Who the hell uses pentagrams? Ah, Pip's chuckling over there, but adding nothing to the fucking show. God forbid she chuckles. And now she's coughing. And I'm going to have a Technicolor couch. But we roll on. Terrazzo pentagrams are historic monuments that should not be tampered with. We heard the same argument for the Confederate statues. But, you know, they weren't really historic either. They were made in the 50s and 60s to keep black people in place. They weren't from the Civil War. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But a chamber spokeswoman said the Me Too shakeup has altered her organization's calculus for determining how to responsibly whittle the annual pool of 300 nominees to 25 or so recipients. Are there really 300 people every year that should be on the Walk of Fame? I kind of feel like we all get a shot then. I kind of feel like my turn's coming. And I have a good Me Too track record. I kind of feel like you guys can step on me soon. Or at least you should be able to. I suggest you demand it, even though I've never been to Hollywood. We really need to do our due diligence and do even more delving into the lives of these people. Anna Martinez told CNN, if we hear something, we need to look into it. The degree of allegations leveled against Walk of Famers ranges from the claim that John Lasseter, formerly of Pixar, was grabbing and kissing employees to the criminal cases alleging abuse and assault that have tarnished the legacies of Michael Jackson, Bill Cosby, and Kevin Spacey. Lasseter apologized. Jackson was acquitted of child molestation charges of 2005, but other claims have surfaced after his death. Cosby was convicted, and two cases against Spacey have been dropped. Many other male celebs are caught in the gray nebula between allegations of sexually exploitive behavior and sexual misconduct. James Franco, harassment, sexual assault. Brett Ratner, who I don't know who that is. And lewd comments and unwelcome sexual advances. Jeffrey Tambor, yeah, he's not an attractive man. I would imagine most sexual advances by Jeffrey Tambor would be unwelcome. Pip, you didn't hear, but she chuckled. So I'm killing fuckers. Anyway, Franco, Ratner, and Tambor deny any wrongdoing. Ratner filed a defamation suit against one of the accusers that he later withdrew. Woody Allen has consistently denied allegations by his adopted daughter, Dylan Farrow, that he sexually assaulted her when she was a child. He has not been charged. Roman Polanski fled the United States for France in 1978 after pleading guilty to a single count of having unlawful sexual intercourse with a minor, admitting he had sex with a 13-year-old girl. Dustin Hoffman has adamantly denied through his attorney allegations of indecent exposure and assault, though he responded to a sexual harassment claim with an apology. Why would you apologize if you didn't do anything? I don't know. I wouldn't apologize. I don't even apologize when I do shit. No, I apologize when I do shit. I would not apologize if I didn't do anything. I'd say, you owe me an apology. How dare you insist that I was hitting on you? You wanted it. That's what I would say. Anyway, although Spacey's faced withering criticism since a string of allegations against him began dropping in 2017, his star on the walk has thus far escaped the kind of negative attention that has befallen its supernova neighbor just a few feet away on Hollywood Boulevard, the pentagram belonging to Donald Trump. I would say Kevin Spacey's probably is not getting the same type of wrath that somebody like Cosby or Trump does, because his alleged victims are men. And I think we still have it in our mind that you could do these other things to boys, to men, if you will, boys to men, that you can't do to women. I feel like we still get outraged. But unwanted sexual advances are unwanted sexual advances, no matter who they are. Man, woman, cat, dog. You can't do that stuff. Can't do that stuff. So anyway. Vandals have gone to town on Trump's star on a myriad occasions, most notably with a sledgehammer and a pickaxe. Acts of outrage have resulted in felony vandalism convictions. Like others, Trump has come under allegations of sexual harassment and assault, all of which he has forcefully denied, although the violence visited upon his star is widely seen as a holistic statement against his style and policies. So what they're saying is, people are fine with the rape and the sexual assault allegations. We just don't like the way he governs, which is completely ridiculous. Don't be outraged at the way he governs. He was elected to do that, whether you like it or not. He was lawfully elected, probably. But nobody elected him to sexually assault anybody. That's what you should be outraged about, if you're going to be outraged about Donald Trump. By the Hollywood Chamber's new unwritten standard for acquiring a star on the walk, Martinez acknowledged the nonprofit organization would probably have to deny star privileges to some larger-than-life figures. Asked whether Charlie Chaplin would qualify by today's standards, Martinez said, "I don't think so." Chaplin, on two occasions, married 16-year-old girls Mildred Harris and Lita Gray, the latter of whom he impregnated out of wedlock when he was 35. Gray, who was first seduced by Chaplin when she was 15, said in divorce papers discovered in 2015 that he forced her to perform revolting, degrading, and offensive sex acts. Now, here's the thing about 16. In some states, that's legal. So I don't know what states these women are from. You could certainly do more with teenagers in the turn of the 20th century than you can now. So I don't even know. So maybe that's even a gray area. Haha. Pun, for lack of a better term. I don't know. But if there were laws against it, then by today's standards, he should not be allowed on the Walk of Fame. Martinez said the Hollywood Chamber Star Election Committee has, on one recent occasion, tabled consideration for a star applicant due to allegations of sexual misconduct, though she would not name the nominee. When celebrity scandals get hot enough, the Los Angeles Police Department gets involved, beefing up patrols on the walk near the stars whose recipients are at the storm, as it did with Jackson's monument immediately after the airing of the documentary. The most focused upon star in the Walk of Fame that anyone in the LAPD can remember has been Donald Trump, said Captain Stephen Lurie. Recent years have seen at least two concerted efforts to remove stars from the Hollywood Walk, the one belonging to Trump, who received a pentagram in 2007, largely for his work with beauty pageants and The Apprentice, and the one bearing the name of Bill Cosby. Can we just stop right there? Was his work on The Apprentice really that good? Did anybody watch the Apprentice or the Celebrity Apprentice go, "Well, that guy's a star. He could carry a show"? No, he wasn't the star. I mean, it was built around him, but he wasn't really good on it. And I used to love watching the Celebrity Apprentice. I didn't watch the regular Apprentice because there was a bunch of people I didn't know. But the Celebrity Apprentice, I wanted to see celebrities embarrass themselves in demeaning ways. It made me feel better about me. But I never watched it and go, "You know, that Donald Trump, he's a shrewd cookie. He's very smart." Or owning a beauty pageant. What a thing. We should honor this. He owns beauty pageants. This is what we need. More beauty pageants. So, I mean, if that's the reason you're putting him on there, pretty shitty reason. I prefer his work in Home Alone 2, quite frankly, which Canada edited out before he became president, so don't get all upset. I really feel like that was his crowning achievement in the realm of entertainment. Home Alone 2. But maybe I'm in the minority. I often am. Anyway, we continue. So recent years of the latest call for removal of Cosby's star came on the heels of his conviction, although he denied wrongdoing. A jury in 2018 found him guilty of all three counts of aggravated indecent assault for drugging and sexually assaulting a woman in 2004. We're not talking about someone who curses, someone who swears, someone who gets drunk, or someone who masturbates in public or private. All right, why would masturbating in private be up for grabs? I mean, is that a reason? If masturbating in private is going to get you off the Walk of Fame, nobody's going to be on the Walk of Fame. Masturbating in private is fine, says I, and that's what you should go with. In public, all right, that's a problem. I could actually see people being outraged when you masturbate in public. I get dirty looks when I just scratch my balls in public. That's why you often see me just hugging a tree. I'm not really affectionate to trees. I'm just kind of grinding against them because I'm scratching my balls. And I don't want to get dirty looks from people. That's what I'm doing. But yeah, I don't think masturbating in private should be grounds for outrage. Settle the fuck down, folks. Settle down, Mike Pence. Relax. I bet Mike Pence masturbates. He has to. There has to be a lot of fury in him. You know, mother goes to sleep early. That's his wife. Mother goes to sleep early. And there's Mike Pence just having his way with Sears catalogs. Anyway. Let's see. So this was said by Earl. Oh, it's not a fucking show unless it's a hard name. Ofari Hutchinson, president of the Los Angeles Urban Policy Roundtable, a civil rights group that called for the star's removal. We're talking about criminal behavior. Jerking off in public, that's criminal behavior. In this case, we happen to be talking about sexual abuses, serious major crimes. There's a duty and obligation to have a standard there, a standard people can look up to and admire. Or maybe there's not. I don't know. In Hutchinson's mind, conviction of serious crime is the threshold that should determine whether a star should be wiped off the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I like how he used wiped off after talking about jerking off. You know, just get his sperm off there. No. Oh, Donald Trump is smeared. Anyway, we stayed away from Michael Jackson because those are unproven charges, he said. Michael was tried in a court of law and acquitted. Cosby was tried in a court of law and convicted. Excellent point. The Hollywood Chamber's president and CEO, Rana Gadban, who last year became the organization's second female leader in its 98-year history, said the chamber does not condone criminal behavior, sexual harassment, or violence against anyone. What a tough stand. Good for you, Rana. You're really laying the gauntlet down. Like, who the fuck is going to go? No, we're cool with criminal behavior. It's fine. Only in this impeachment hearing are you hearing this for the first time where they're going, well, maybe it was wrong, but it doesn't raise the level of impeachment. Other than that, day-to-day people, they go, nah, we don't like criminal activity. We're not fans. But I guess Rana's making her stand. That being said, the Walk of Fame is a historic record of entertainment figures past and present, she said in an email to CNN. The Walk of Fame Selection Committee has a commitment to select the very best talent in the world for their career milestones and their prestigious work in their chosen field of entertainment. Once installed, the Walk of Fame stars are part of the historic fabric of this famous landmark and are not subject to removal. Wow. Once you get your pentagram, you can't go. Other attempts to strip Cosby of... Oh, I got a text. I wonder if this is anybody important. Not regarding this. Okay. I thought maybe it was Joe. But Joe's not fucking here. Joe's not coming to the rescue. Remember this, people. Remember how Joe left you. And when Joe does come back, I want you to give him a stink eye. Like he just masturbated in public. That's how you should treat Joe. A scarlet pentagram for not being here to rescue the show. That being said, the Walk of Fame is historic entertainment figures past and present. So yeah, once you're installed, you don't get removed. So people tried to take off Cosby's. People have stripped Cosby of other accolades. 56 colleges gave Cosby an honorary degree, rescinded the distinction after his conviction. According to CNN Review, among the most recent are Pepperdine University and the Juilliard School. Spokespeople from those places told CNN some colleges have decided not to revoke, such as Hampton University in Virginia, which honored him for all the good work he's done in his financial and other support of young women and men who have attended historically black colleges and universities. Sexual misconduct accusations have also torpedoed the career of Kevin Spacey, but there have been no public calls to remove his star from the walk, Martinez of the Hollywood Chamber said. The spate of allegations against Spacey began in the fall of 2017 when Broadway actor Anthony Rapp accused the House of Cards star of making a drunken sexual advance on him in the mid-1980s when Rapp was 14. The Rapp story opened the floodgates and additional allegations ranging from the groping of young men on the set of House of Cards to sexual assault. Spacey offered an apology to Rapp. It was panned for doubling as a coming out statement. I don't remember what that was, but I guess, hey, I'm gay. What could I do? Couldn't help myself. But you can. In the two criminal cases, both of which have been dropped, Spacey pleaded not guilty in one and denied every allegation in the other. Much like Jackson, Spacey has a fan group that defends him. No other actor accused of wrongdoing has been treated as bad as Kevin Spacey by media, making him the emblem of cancel culture. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's true. The group supportkevinspacey.com, which says it is not in contact with Spacey, said in an email. All right, here's what you should also know before we get into this conversation. The Baseball Hall of Fame, which is where they put their immortals, has people like Ty Cobb. Ty Cobb is a known racist. Nobody's taken his plaque out of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And there is a character clause when you consider whether people should be in the Hall of Fame. And by all accounts of Ty Cobb, he was lacking in character. Any character he had was poor. But he's in the Hall of Fame because he was such a tremendous baseball player. And then you go to the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, and we have O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson was accused of murdering two people, acquitted. He also went to jail for, I want to say it was theft of his own stuff. I want to say that happened in Vegas of like his own memorabilia. But he did go to jail. O.J. Simpson did go to jail, but nobody took out his bust in Canton, Ohio. So maybe we shouldn't hold the Walk of Fame to a higher standard. I've gone back and forth on this. So, like, if you're an alleged racist, should you come off the Walk of Fame? And by today's standards, you absolutely should. But then again, you know, racism was allowed. It was things that we did weren't even considered racist. Blackface was not considered racist. Blackface was just good old entertainment back in the day. So you're going to take somebody off the Walk of Fame for that? For racism? I say no. I say no. If you allegedly committed sexual assault, should you have your star removed? It's allegations. I mean, we look at R. Kelly. I don't think he's been convicted of anything. I don't think he's a star on the Walk of Fame. But Michael Jackson, I mean, he was acquitted. I mean, a lot of people feel that Michael Jackson did stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. If you have money and power, much like I said about Kobe Bryant, you can make things go away. We like to think that the scales of justice are balanced in this country. But they tip a little bit more in your favor when you have money and power. Allegations. Sexual assault allegations. Should that make them take away your star? I would say no. I would say we'll deal with the allegations. We're not going to have no comment. Maybe it's cowardly. Maybe we're not proactive. Maybe we're not woke. But allegations are just allegations. We do have a court of law. But now, if you're convicted of a felony, especially a violent felony, like sexual assault, rape, killing someone, yeah, then I would say, you know what? We don't need to idolize you anymore. I mean, you still have achieved what you've achieved in the arts, in TV, in movies. But if you're convicted of a crime, it's time to go. Like, I would say they should remove Bill Cosby's. I would say they should remove Bill Cosby's star. We can't put somebody else in. Now, I would not say you move Donald Trump's. I mean, it doesn't matter what I think Donald Trump's done. I mean, I think you have like 19 people accusing you. You probably did something. But he's never been convicted. So I don't think you remove Donald Trump. But I would remove Bill Cosby's. Then there's the other. Then you got to start thinking about resources. And Pip's going upstairs again. Then you got to start thinking about resources. They say the police have to defend some of these pentagrams more. And then you go, well, is it really worth it? I mean, you don't want to give in. You don't want to let the troublemakers, if you will, you don't want to give in to them. But then again, police resources are precious. I really don't want extra police resources defending a sidewalk. But I guess ultimately you can't give in. You can't give in. You have to let that stand. Let's see. I do like the idea that the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce is a little bit more sensitive to these concerns now, and they're starting to put character as part of the qualifications. Now, that you could certainly make the argument. You can certainly make the argument. What is somebody's character have to do with how they perform on screen? Take Mel Gibson. People loved Mel Gibson. And then he had anti-Semitic rants. Though he's probably anti-Semitic. Does that mean he's not a good actor? No. It doesn't mean that. But I would say go, and you know, listen, artists, like other people, have character flaws. Racism is a character flaw. Being a sexual deviant is a character flaw. Being abusive is a character flaw. But we're honoring them for their art, for what they, how they made us feel with what they did. But I would say going forward, if I could avoid these sticky situations, I would hold off on putting somebody who is of a suspect moral character. I would hold off on that. Because I think there's enough talented people that we could honor without that. You know what? Maybe we should start using the Walk of Fame to put the spotlight on people you don't know. Maybe that's what we do with the Walk of Fame. Maybe we have some stars, and we also have some local people from the community theater. You know, Joey Smith, you know, he played the tree in The Crucible. I don't even know if there's a tree in The Crucible. But say he played the tree. But he was such a good tree. He barely moved. A very believable tree. Maybe we put him on the Walk of Fame. Maybe we rotate out the pentagrams. We just, you know, we honor local people. I mean, people know Joey Smith in town. Big fans of Joey Smith in town. I don't know. But I don't know. I've never thought of the Walk of Fame as a historic monument. I probably because I don't look at entertainment in the way I look at history. I always thought of it as a, hey, you know, something in your town. It's a tourist attraction. Much the way I looked at Disney World. But maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Maybe Cinderella's Castle is a historic monument. Maybe that should be a historic monument. But I don't... I think what it comes down to is the Walk of Fame attracts people to Hollywood. And they don't want to screw that up. Because if we come down to it, it's all about the money. Everything is always about the money. So maybe that's what it is. But I don't look at that as a historic monument. I don't look at it like, oh, you know, this is our history. You got to bring the kids here to see the pentagram of Charlie Chaplin. It's really going to affect how they look at things. Nah, I don't do that. I think of the USS Arizona in Pearl Harbor. I think that's a historic monument. I've been there. That is very emotional. I had tears. Why did I? I didn't know anybody died. But it's a very emotional place. And you still see the oil bubbling up. That's a historic monument. That moves you. That educates you. Something important happened there. Something terrible actually happened there. But stars on a sidewalk? Eh. I think it's another case of Hollywood taking themselves a little too seriously. This show is going to be a historic monument of what it's like for my voice to completely crap out. That's what it's going to be. But we're going to plow on. Pippa's is upstairs. This is really quite the luck we have. This is quite the luck we have with the with Joe not being able to be here later than usual. Pip feeling fine all day and then getting sick right before the show. Victim of the chicken salad sandwich. But we'll roll on. We will roll on. So this next story is about a waitress who worked at an Applebee's and got fired. Former supervisor at an Applebee's in New Jersey is suing the restaurant chain, alleging she was fired after she asked a bar patron who made derogatory comments about Muslims to leave. The woman, Amanda Broud, claims in a lawsuit filed in state superior court in Monmouth County that in January 2019, she was temporarily transferred from an Applebee's in Tinton Falls to one in Middletown, where she was, quote, exposed to a hostile work environment where racism and bigotry were commonplace. I didn't even know you could transfer Applebee's waitresses. I didn't know. Like, when you think of people being transferred or traded, like, you think of, like, I don't know, tech companies. So you think. Or you even think of manufacturing jobs. All right, if you want to keep your job, we're moving the factory from Michigan to wherever the hell they put factories. Ohio, I guess. I don't really think of an Applebee's waitress as having to shift where she goes to work, but so I learned something. Anyway, the lawsuit names Applebee's and the franchisee of the Middletown location, Darty Management Services, as well as a general manager, a senior manager, and a bartender as defendants. Brewitt of Eatontown said, Eatontown, it's funny, it's about a restaurant. Anyway, Brewitt of Eatontown said, a senior manager routinely directed racist and discriminatory language at employees. She said that on one occasion when an African-American employee's uncle died, the manager said, well, this is one less black guy we have to worry about. Really? Were you really in this day and age? Are you really worried about black guys at Applebee's? Is that really what you're worried about? No, you're just being a dick. Let's be honest. You're just being a dick. And if you're saying that out loud, you probably shouldn't be in a management position. You can have those thoughts in your head. You can be a bigot in your head. I mean, we're not the thought police here. But saying it out loud, really not showing leadership style. Really not giving me that leader of men and women. But that's me. In a separate incident, the same manager called an employee a fucking retard in front of other staff members, Brewitt also claims. Again, I understand getting pissed off at people. Trust me, I know. But you can't be using that type of language in front of other people. You just can't. Now, if they said it in private, it's not great language. We don't really use the word retarded anymore. But you can't be calling that on other people. You're not showing leadership. You're showing you've lost control, is what you're showing. Brewitt said that on May 13th, a customer complained to her that another patron was making racist comments about Muslims at the bar. Among them, that Muslim people are disgusting. Most of them are terrorists. And if it were up to me, none of those motherfuckers would be allowed in the country. Okay, well, it's not up to you. Again, this is Applebee's. Isn't Applebee's the neighborhood bar and grill? Where is this fucking... Where is this neighborhood? In fucking Nazi Germany? I can't recall. I don't go to a lot of bars, to be fair. But I can't imagine going to an Applebee's. I think of Applebee's. I think of happy stuff. Pot stickers, motherfuckers. Little taco shit. Fajitas. I think of happy stuff. I don't think I'm going to be subjected to this type of language. According to the lawsuit, the customer told Brewitt that a bartender who is also named as a defendant was participating in the offensive, discriminatory conversation and had done nothing to stop it. So the bartender's there, participating, not doing anything. Maybe the bartender shouldn't. I don't know. Brewitt said two other customers also complained to her about the offensive conversation and asked her to intervene. So you're sitting there. You're trying to have your nice Applebee's hamburger or fajitas or whatever the fuck Applebee's is serving these days. And your ears are being assaulted by this. Now imagine having your kids there. This type of language. Now you go to a ballpark. So you go to a baseball game. They'll make announcements that they can kick you out for like rude or offensive behavior. So if you just get like really loud, belligerent, and somebody complains, you can be asked to leave. They make that announcement. I don't see why an Applebee should be any different. Brewitt claims that when asked to leave, the customer became irate, yelled at her, and left. I've never been kicked out of an Applebee's. A TGI Fridays for sure, but an Applebee's, nay, nay, never. Brewitt said that several customers told her they appreciated her actions and that one left a note on a receipt that read, to the manager, thank you for standing up to hate. Racism. Thank you for your service. All right, it's not the fucking military. It's not thank you for your service. But I get it. So there's a thank you for not allowing this in the neighborhood bar and grill. Thank you for making me feel that Applebee's is a place where I can enjoy a nice hamburger and not have my ears assaulted by bigotry and language. But the bartender and Brewitt's supervisor responded differently. Brewitt faced immediate hostility and retaliation from staff and management for her actions and received no support from the defendants, according to the lawsuit. The bartender openly complained to staff in front of customers about Brewitt's actions, which caused her to lose tips from regular customers, it alleges. Brewitt said the general manager called her that night to berate her for asking the customer to leave. The manager told her that she should have asked the offended customers to move to another area of the restaurant, the suit says. So what's going on? The people that are doing the complaint, and again, we talked about complaints in the first part of the show. Everybody likes to complain. But in this case, they're saying that the people that are complaining for having to hear this bigoted language and expletives, they should be the ones who are inconvenienced. The people that are just there sitting there eating their sandwiches or whatever the hell they're eating, they're the ones who should be inconvenient. Not the person who's causing the ruckus. The people who just want to have a meal. During the call, the manager also told her that she had no authority to tell customers at the bar to refrain from discussing religion, the lawsuit states. I don't really feel like it's a discussion of religion. We're not talking about the merits of Islam or Islam versus Christianity or Islam versus Judaism. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people saying bigoted things. It's like saying all Christians or all Jews or, in this case, it's Muslims. We're not discussing religion. We're discussing a bigoted point of view. Not even an intellectual discussion. Just bigoted stuff. So, Pruitt said that several days later, she told the Applebee's area director that she could no longer work at the Middletown location because of the hostile atmosphere and asked to be transferred back to the Applebee's in Tinton Falls. Her request for a transfer was denied, and she was instead scheduled to work 3 days at the Middletown Applebee's, according to the lawsuit. Pruitt refused the change in schedule, and on May 20th, she was fired due to a false and retaliatory accusation that she has not appeared for one of her shifts. Pruitt said that after she was fired, she wrote a letter to the defendants documenting the incident on May 13th and detailing a hostile work environment, which made it nearly impossible for her to perform her duties. Yeah, can you imagine that? Like, you think you're on, like, the side of right, you know, common decency, but you're working with people that are so focused on, I guess, being dicks or... I was going to say that they're focused on, you know, making sure every customer is happy, but they're not. And you see this in comedy clubs, too, if I may interject. And really, who's going to stop me at this point? In comedy clubs, you go to a club, and there'll be this group that are loud, they're drunk, maybe they're heckling, they're disruptive. I'm not even going to say they're saying racist or bigoted things, because often they're not. They're just very self-absorbed. So, and you could see that not only are they disturbing the comic, they are disturbing the people around them. But unfortunately, what a lot of clubs do is they make the decisions like, we don't want to lose any tab, so we're just going to let this stand. And they let the drunks continue on their merry way, but it ruins the experience for everybody else. And they don't realize that because they did not take a stand against this one table, those other tables who were behaving like, you know, decent human beings who want to sit there and enjoy the show which they paid for are probably never going to come back because you do not police your establishment. I feel like that's what's going on here. Ed Daugherty, chairman and chief operating officer of Daugherty Enterprises and Applebee's franchisee, and Susan Nelson, Applebee's vice president of communications, said in separate statements that their companies took the accusations very seriously. Daugherty said that Brood's allegations were untrue and that her separation from the restaurant had nothing to do with guest interaction. We are proud that our Applebee's restaurants serve the community as an inclusive place where neighbors can come together, and that extends to both our guests and our dedicated team members, Daugherty said. Nelson said, the allegations made are in direct contrast with the values we and our franchises uphold every day. Brood, like Freud, is seeking her job back along with back pay and benefits, as well as unspecified compensatory, consequential, and punitive damages. She's also calling for the defendants to undergo anti-discrimination, anti-harassment, and anti-retaliation training. Here's the thing. I think this woman, Broyd, is brave. I think she's exemplary. Exemplary, that's the word. Because it's a tough, you're in a tough situation to stand up to racism and bigotry. And I don't know if I would do it. I'd like to think I would. But I could also see myself just, you know, trying to take the path of least resistance. Because, you know, you're just working at Applebee's. You just want to get through the day. You know, maybe she doesn't look at this as her career. You know, this is the last thing she wants to deal with. And maybe she wants to take the path of least resistance. But she didn't do that. So I will look at her and I go, wow, this is employee of the month material. If that's still a thing. I think it's still a thing. But I don't know, unless I knew I had the backing up of everybody else on my team, because it's a lot easier to do when you got backup. I don't know if I'd be brave enough to be the point of the spear and tackle this. And Applebee's is saying, you know, Applebee's is saying that she was wrong to ask them to leave. She was right. They're causing the problem. They're causing the ruckus. They did the right thing. She did the right thing. But they're saying she did the wrong thing. Because they're looking at it as like, you never ask a customer to leave. Well, if, you know, who the hell wants bigots in your place? Do you want to be known as a place that has bigots? I don't think you do. And to ask the customers who were offended to move their seats, why are you going to inconvenience them? Why do they have to be the ones to move? Doesn't make sense to me. If you're going to make anybody stand out, you make the example of the people that are causing the problem. It seems like a pretty easy thing for management to do. See, I feel like the waitress, what she did was extra brave. And I feel like management is extra cowardly. Because it's real easy, you know, like say these people didn't want to move. They go, oh, can you get me the manager? All right, get the manager. If the manager has your back, you get the manager. Yeah, you got to go. And if you don't go, the police are going to be on the way. Because the manager can call the police. If you're just a waitress, you don't necessarily have that power. But they're not doing that here. And I don't like the way Applebee's has handled this. I feel like they've hung this young woman out to dry. I feel like if I was the owner of Applebee's, and I don't know if there's a Mr. Applebee. Can't say I've done that research. Can't say I've ever thought about that, to be honest with you. But if I'm the owner of Applebee's, I'm looking at this franchise and I'm going, you know what? I don't even know if we want you guys to have our franchise anymore. This story comes out, and this is how you react. You're not backing up this girl. You have managers calling people fucking retards, saying these things. Now, again, yeah, it's one person's story, I guess. But I can't imagine it being made up. But if I'm the one in charge of franchise, I go, I don't think you need to be an Applebee's. Maybe you're a Houlihan's. You're not ready for Applebee's. You're a Houlihan's for now. I'd be real, like, if this story came out and I was the one in charge of franchises or the CEO of Applebee's, the executive board of Applebee's, whoever that runs, I'd be really upset by this story and how my management team is handling this. Pippa's back down. Are you going to join us? No. Pippa's not joining us, and Joe is tardy. I guess the Pepto didn't work. No. That made everything pink like Pip talked about. I would assume that if I'm being loud and belligerent, a restaurant can ask me to leave. Now, I'm probably not happy with that at the time because I'm loud and belligerent, probably drunk. And if I'm loud and belligerent, I really don't think about what other people think of the whole thing. Probably pretty self-absorbed, much like I am right now, all about me. But in a moment of clarity, as I was being escorted out and sitting in my car, listen to AM radio, I might think, yeah, it's their place. I could see that. I could see them asking me to leave. I probably shouldn't be outraged. I mean, I put on a good show. I put on the whole flailing arms and the I've never. And I gave them a stern look and a firm talking to, and I cursed, and I made sure the little kids heard, because now their parents have to respond and react to some shit. So I've done my job as a belligerent fool. I really, unless I wanted to take a swing at somebody and then I'd wind up in jail, and I don't want to do that because I'm not that belligerent, not that stupid. You know, I've made my scene. But in a moment of clarity, I might go to going, yeah, I could see how that was wrong. I should probably save that for the Thanksgiving table around my family. And, you know, just piss off my liberal nieces and nephews, those little fucking snowflakes, piss them off, ruin their Thanksgiving. But I probably shouldn't ruin a stranger's good time. I could see that. Here's the most weird thing about this whole story. She wants her job back. I mean, I got a feel If you're qualified to work at Applebee's, you can probably work at a diner. Houlihan's, Fridays, Chi-Chi's, On the Border. Any of your quick neighborhood bar slash restaurants. Is there tenure? I don't know if there's tenure at an Applebee's. And I would say, you know, if I was getting this job applicant and somebody said reason for leaving and you wrote fighting bigotry, if I'm the one doing the hiring, I'm like, go on. I read about that. Yeah, I want you on my team. You'd be a valued member on my team. I agree with you. I like that you took the initiative. I would not want to work at that app. I would not want to work at Applebee's anymore. If Applebee's can't stand behind me for this, then I don't want to stand with Applebee's. So now the question is, am I going to go to Applebee's anymore? I really don't go to Applebee's. But would I avoid it? I feel like if I remember, given a choice, I will not go to Applebee's. I feel that way. I feel, now it's not really a big sacrifice because I don't really go to Applebee's that much. But I feel like I can be without Applebee's in my life. I feel like I can make that minor adjustment. And maybe all you should, too. Maybe you should all take Applebee's out of your life. Maybe you don't need that anymore. Maybe you should support your neighborhood bar or restaurant instead. Maybe we should all say nay, nay to Applebee's. We will not have you anymore in our life. That's what I feel. I think if we can't stand up against Applebee's, where can we make our stand? Dairy Queen? Is that where we make our stand? The Chinese buffet? Is that where we make our stand? No. I think it has to be Applebee's. The neighborhood bar. That's what they, you know, fun and everything. It's not fun. Anti-Muslim sentiments are not fun. Bigotry's not fun. Calling somebody a fucking retard, a little funny. Not fun. Have to make your stand, people. Stand against Applebee's. Stand with Miss Brood. And then again, she's not even standing with Miss Brood. She don't even want to boycott Applebee's. So fucking scratch all that. I don't know. She makes a hard choice about standing up against bigotry. And she's like, I still want to work for you. Why? Is it the uniforms? I feel like you can get a shitty uniform at a lot of jobs. But what do I know? I don't have a uniform. I'm doing this shit pantsless. All right. We roll on. I'm going, excuse me while I pour myself a glass of water. My voice is getting shot. This will be a bitch tomorrow. But don't worry, I'm going to a doctor tomorrow. Not a throat doctor, but a doctor nonetheless. Maybe I'll have them look at my throat. It's not part of what they fucking look at, but who's going to refuse me? I'm making a stand against Applebee's. I'm a patriot, really. Doing the Lord's work. They should look at whatever I ask them to look at. Maybe that's what I'll do. All right. This story, this is really a fascinating story. This is about a man who is not a Donald Trump fan. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But ultimately comes down to freedom of speech. So this is a Texas teacher has been ordered to remove his jail 45 license plate from his car amid threatening messages about his protest against President Trump, according to reports. History teacher Jerry Balkenbush, 43, initially got permission from the Texas DMV for the plate stating his blunt views on Trump, the 45th president of the United States, he told local media in Fort Worth. But a month later, he was told he had 30 days to remove it after it was revoked following complaints that it was derogatory. My license plate is peaceful. It does not harm anybody. Has anybody ever heard of a license plate harming people? Like, unless you're throwing it at somebody. Like, unless you're taking a license plate and throwing at somebody or bashing them over a head. How is a license plate violent? I don't think a license plate is violent. I think people can use license plates in a violent way. Not the best weapon, but certainly use them. But I think license plates are essentially harmless. If we can't protest the government, then what direction are we headed towards? That's a good point. Calling Trump a crook who needs to go to jail, Balkenbush told the Texas Tribune. These guys talk to everybody. I really feel like it was a violation of my freedom of speech against the government. An administrative rule in Texas allows the DMV to reject plates deemed to have derogatory language, the local reports say. Almost 3,800 proposed plates were rejected in the state in 2018, including the likes of DMP Trump, which is Dump Trump, LOKHMUP, Lock Him Up, CNN Fake, that one speaks for itself, and WHO, FRTD, Who Farted? A solid question. But when you're in a car, it's pretty easy to figure it out. There's only a handful of choices. It's not like an elevator. And HLL Ugly, Hill Ugly. Those were all rejected by the fine Texas DMV. There's a fine line between expressing one's political opinions and offensive speech officially sanctioned by the state of Texas on license plate. Brandon Rottinghouse, a political science professor at the University of Houston, previously told the paper. The state doesn't want to be liable for confrontations resulting from unhappy drivers who see messages offensive to them. Some motorists who see these plates would smile, but others would be angry. The state has an obligation to vet these before any possible trouble arises. Balkenbush, a U.S. Air Force veteran, said he was targeted with hate messages from trolls after the story first made the local headlines. So nobody bothered him when he had the plate. It was once the stories were reported that he started having problems. Wildly, so I did not foresee the hate coming. The nasty words and profanity towards me and towards my wife, he told WFAA. I feel like this is a new normal in our politics. However, he also got plenty of support after posting a picture of his license plate to Facebook. Because that's what we all do. We all run to social media. We all do that. So somebody wrote, Barbara Hopkins Shively, writing, "You, sir, are my hero." All right. I guess we're aiming lower on heroes. Because we're not actually saving lives now. We're just coming up with vanity plates. Because the bar is leveled, lowered. I could be somebody's hero. I feel like I could come up with a vanity plate. I should be somebody's hero. I should be somebody's hero right now. Idolize me. Many others defended his freedom of speech, even if they did not approve of the message. Disagree with your politics, but you should be allowed to keep the tags, Marv Gabby Mitchell wrote, while Jim Knowles said, don't like your plate, but you should have the right to display it. The snafu has not put him off displaying his political views via his plates. However, he ordered replacements that read Obama, he said. I was surprised it wasn't taken. Yeah, because Obama doesn't live in Texas. Why would you be surprised? It's Texas. Not really surprised by that. Now, we asked on the Davin's Den Facebook page, and actually on my personal Facebook page, what people thought, whether he should be allowed to have the plates. I'm just scrolling real quickly to see what you folks said before I give you guys my take. My phone is just taking a while to scroll, because why wouldn't it? Because it's just that type of night. But I'm going to get through this. Scroll. You ever have that like stupid circle on the bottom that just takes forever to get where you want it to go? Yeah. You know what the circle is? Circle's like when you're stuck in traffic behind the one slow person. That's what that is. I'm stuck in traffic behind the one slow person. And now my phone is acting stupid. So now I'm stuck in traffic behind the slow person, and an old person is crossing the street. Oh, look who's finally showing up. Stupid. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Fuck you.
That's actually been one of the nicer greetings I've gotten from you.
No, then don't worry. I dined to give you a much nastier one.
I'm at a business dinner.
I understand. I understand, but I told you, don't eat fucking dessert. You told me 8 o'clock, it's 8:22, you decided to join. I'm doing the show fucking solo. I can't even look at the chat room, which is probably blowing up. I'm doing this shit solo here. My voice is shot. Pip is fucking dying on the couch looking at me, and I'm waiting for you to call in at 8.
It's not like I'm hanging out at the compound. The man that signs my check is telling a fucking story. I gotta sit there and listen to it.
Why? You've heard it before.
Again.
You know what? Here's what you do. You take Pip's ailment and you use it to your own advantage. You go, oh, I had a chicken salad for lunch. I got to run. And then you run out the door and you get on your fucking phone. That's what a team player does, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, a team player also sits with the regional manager and talks strategy and then has to sit through a boring golf discussion. So what can I tell you?
Ugh. Well, that's the wrong team you're playing for.
Well, that's the one that pays a mortgage, so there, so be it.
All right. So, I don't know how much you listen to. I've been doing this show essentially by myself for pretty much an hour, 20 minutes.
So you've been winning all the arguments. All right, good.
Finally, the show's going the right way. I've never been smarter.
No.
Well, now, what?
Is Dawn there, or was Dawn there?
Who? Who is that person you speak of? Pip, you mean Pip.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Only she's allowed to out herself. Yeah, she's here. She's on the couch. She's underneath a blanket. She's run up to the bathroom a few times. It's not a good scene.
What did she go to China?
No, she got. She went. Cover your ears, dear. I need to tell Joe what happened briefly. Okay. No, she made a fucking rookie mistake. Stupid. She went. She got the chicken salad at the deli. What is it with people getting these suspect proteins with mayonnaise? It's a bad move.
But chicken salad in a deli, it's not, it was a gas station. I mean, you were eating funny tasting tuna in a Subway.
Yeah, no, I powered through it. I'm not her. She's been sick for 5 fucking weeks.
I know. Well, what is it? Motion over to the couch. What does the doctor say?
We got her hopped up on Pepto-Bismol and Tums. Here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. If you are suspect to illness, you cannot get mayonnaise any place but your house. Them's the rules.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm usually very careful of what I eat because basically, you know, I do our show, I do, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and I wound up eating something bad, and I couldn't make rehearsal with Fragile Sky. Michael calls me up and starts telling me I need to, you know, watch what I eat because I get. I go, I know that. I'm a working entertainer. I know that. But just something just did not sit well, and I was very, very sick that afternoon. I could not travel.
No, it's the worst. It's the worst when you get the bubble guts. But I'm just saying. I mean, and it's not that long ago where tuna fish at a different deli did her in. You gotta be careful. If you are prone to illness, if I'm prone to illness, I wouldn't eat out. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, because it's so bad. You feel so bad. I mean, I'm pretty fortunate. I mean, I've gotten food poisoning from places, but I'm pretty fortunate. You saw me with the funny tasting tuna. My stomach fucking powered through.
Yeah, but here's the deal. It's not, you had your choice to return it and get something else. And I'm like, no, I'll eat it. All right, you're as dumb as they come, okay?
No, because if the tune is bad, probably everything's bad.
So you might as well get sick eating what you want.
Yes! Yes, you understand.
All right.
So,
okay.
All right. So we are up to, I just went through the Texas story. Have not really started discussing yet the license plate story. So,
Right. Before
I gave my take on it, I was going to go through some of the comments on the Davin's Den Facebook page. So, Dave Harris, who was on the show last week, said the DMV is a government office and as such is not permitted to censor anyone's speech. This is a First Amendment case, plain and simple. Walt, who's also been on the show, writes to Dave, want to bet? Try applying for a license plate. Says EATPSSY, eat pussy. See how quickly you get that and your freedom of speech. Brian wrote, simply put, the DMV not wanting to invite poor behavior based on their sanctioning of the plate is logical no matter what your views are. Barbara writes, it's my understanding that there's a license plate censorship bureau. I had no idea of this. Lucia wrote, that's BS. And so the sentiments are all over the place. I will say this is a violation of freedom of speech. It's political speech, it's protected speech, and it's a government office that's doing this. This isn't your boss doing this. It's a government office doing this. You there? Joe? Of course. Why would he be there? Why wouldn't the phone drop out? Why the fuck not? All right. Well, maybe Joe will call back. Maybe he had a bad chicken salad sandwich. I don't know. Everybody's dying tonight, but I'm fighting through. But this is a direct violation of the freedom of speech. See, oh, here he is. Chicken salad get you?
No. I guess I did fine. So you were saying, so what's your contention on the subject? You were going into that when we were
I think this is a direct violation of freedom of speech. It's political speech, and it's a government agency trying to take it away from you. This isn't your boss, which would not be a freedom of speech violation. This is the government trying to take it away from you.
Yeah, basically, usually the rule of thumb with license plates are the obscenity laws. Clearly, this is not a case of the obscenity laws, so that is a freedom of speech issue.
Yeah, I mean... it's not a violation. I mean, dump 45 or whatever, or was it jail 45? There's no words in there that are offensive. Now, you might not like the sentence, but that's okay. You don't have to like the sentence.
The only thing is that it might, I'm stretching here, but it might show malicious intent.
What's the intent? What is the intent? To drive?
Jail 45. And like I said, I'm going for a stretch here. But if malicious intent, if you want to keep the ball in the air still, that's the only thing I could think of. Because it's not obscene, but they're saying, well, we won't do it. All right. Well, it's citing against a figure, and we're stating malicious intent.
But by that logic, you'd have to jail all the people that chant "lock her up" at a Trump rally if you want to go by that malicious intent.
But have you ever seen anything showing a malicious intent on a license plate? We're talking in the context of a license plate. So what we have to think of is there any plate, and this is sort of a malicious intent thing, not in a hard sense, but nonetheless, it gives an idea of a malicious intent. Have you ever seen a license plate with malicious intent on it?
No.
And that's what I'm thinking. That might be where they're. And I could be totally wrong, but as a guess, I would state that it's not obscene, but it might be a malicious intent.
Again, though, it's political speech. And remember, they gave him permission, and then they decided to take it away. So I think in that case, it's even worse.
Because I think they thought it over. I think
you don't get a do-over.
It's the government can do what they want.
No, they can't. That's why we have laws. No, they can't.
Yeah, tell that to the Suffolk County Divorce Court. Fucking laugh at your face.
The federal
ironclad divorce decree, and they actually had a hearing that they didn't even invite me to see if I had to pay. So
they probably thought you were listening to a golf story by your boss and didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, well, the boss tells a story, he tells a story.
I guess. But I mean, I don't know. It seems wrong. And like they're worried about people. Like their reasoning is they're worried about people taking it the wrong way. Well, if you think there's people who are going to start a fight because they see a license plate, maybe don't let those people have a license. Maybe those are the people we need to keep away from behind the wheel, where if you see a license plate, all of a sudden you're going to ram them and start a fucking fight. I don't want those people driving. How do you like that?
Well, yeah, but the thing about it is if you allow something there, once again, if they allow something there, once again, that might state a malicious intent. If, God forbid, somebody starts shooting somebody or whatever, they might think it might be something that started from there where a municipality is allowing such statements to be made. And if such statements to be made, when is it for? Is it going to be for when some actions are going
to
take place?
So by that logic... If I legally, if I do a background check and I legally give you a gun, and then you use that gun to kill somebody, the state should be liable, which it's not.
Right. Like I said, I'm just being the devil's advocate here. that argument or that example I gave, you know, to argue, I think it's horseshit.
Okay. You know, I think Dershowitz said the same thing today. Yeah.
but what I'm saying is, you know, just as why would they do that? That's an example I could give. I do think it's horseshit, but nonetheless, that could be the reason. It is ridiculous, you know, as it would seem.
Well, here's the thing, though. It doesn't say malicious. The administrative rule in Texas allows the DMV to reject plates deemed to have derogatory language. Is jail 45 derogatory?
It just seems that an opinion of an individual that is put on a plate backed by a government entity does not seem within the parameters of something a government entity should be issuing. It's a matter of it's a matter of opinion on a government issued plate.
But I could say I find semi-automatic weapons obscene. I feel, you know, I find that you don't need such firepower. That's obscene. You should not give those to people. These are both constitutional rights we're talking about.
You know what? You bring up a point. Now, if there was a license plate that said "locked and load," you know, do you think they would give you that plate?
I feel like they probably would.
I do not think in these times I don't think they would because it connotates violence.
I think those plates are probably out there.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, but in the context, especially the way things are now, where everything is so overblown politically correct, that the government entities are tiptoeing around everything. Where, you know, and I think in where they feel they are up to be criticized, the damn thing made the news, you know, where they feel that something like that, they want to take the safer road and not approve something like that.
So, do you think they should have approved the dump Trump one? They did not. No, these are all ones that they've rejected. So they rejected dump Trump, lock him up, CNN fake. I mean, why can't you have CNN fake?
Because it's a government entity assisting stating an opinion on something. That's the way it's a government entity, because it is a state issue plate. It's a government entity making a statement against something.
But it's not their statement; it's a vanity plate. Now, when I look at a license plate, I don't think, oh, the state endorses that. I go, no, this is what this person wanted to put. You there?
See?
Wait! You cut out. You cut out. What'd you say?
Oh, it's a government entity assisting on making a statement on something, and as a government entity. They feel they should not be assisting in something that might be obscene, or they're assisting on something that might be stating a negative opinion against a politician when they're a government entity.
So what about who farted?
That would be along, depending where it is, that would be along the obscenity lines. I mean, you could sneak it in, you know. If you had like HUFHTED or something like that, an acronym, they could probably sneak that by. But actually, who farted? You can't.
No, it's FRTD.
You could probably get it, but if you're not swift enough,
they rejected it. They rejected it.
Yeah, because that would be. An obscene statement. A statement seems inappropriate, assisted by a government entity.
I think
they're issued by the government.
I think it's a solid question.
It's up to the, you know, freedom of speech thing. Yeah, but when it's something on a government issued item that could either be considered obscene or considered assisting in a negative statement, the government, you know, they feel that they have a right to decline that.
And the last one they got rid of was HLL, which I guess would be Hill, ugly. I mean, all right. I would have allowed that, too.
You know, felt like, you know, in this whole thing where everything is shaming, oh, you shame this, you shame that. That's another thing where they feel like something is being shamed on being assisted by a government entity.
Anybody could be Hillary. Maybe she is ugly. You don't know what is she, like fucking Madonna now? She's the only Hillary?
A politician, a negative statement by a politician assisted by a government entity, which should remain neutral. Now listen to me. I could give a damn what they put out. You know, I need to laugh my ass off in traffic looking at license plates. But, you know, just from a standpoint as the devil's advocate, I would feel that this is some of the reasoning that they would have on these plates.
See, this is the type of thing where I would love for, like, somebody to take this all the way to the Supreme Court. Probably won't, but it's the type of thing that I would love.
Yeah, if the court would entertain it, I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't think the court would entertain it. They got better things to do.
Yeah, but you could get it to the lower courts. They don't have better things to do.
Yeah, that's true, but I would like to see. But I think, you know, like I said, I think, you know, for the freedom of speech issue, I think that it would be, you know, the statement that you're making, you know, I sound like a broken record, but it's the statement that you're making that has a negative or obscene connotation assisted by a government entity. And I think that's how the court would rule.
All right, we'll move on to our Las Vegas story. All right?
Right.
So Las Vegas is tweaking their slogan, which they've had since 2002. It's changing from "What happens here stays here." The new slogan is going to be "What happens here only happens here." The old slogan, created as tourism dropped during the aftermath of 9/11, penetrated the culture in a way that all but the most ubiquitous ads failed to do, to the point where it felt more of a common saying than an advertiser's phrase. Yeah, everybody said "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas." I've paraphrased that for my comedy. I go, "What happens here?" And the audience goes, "Stays here." I go, "No, nobody gives a shit about." But over the past couple of years, specifically as the city has grieved over the 2017 mass shooting that killed 58 people on the Vegas Strip, officials have been open to change the messaging around Vegas. The rise of online sports betting and the increase in places around the country where people can gamble means that the city now needs to market itself as a one-of-a-kind entertainment destination. The only place where people can find the best of entertainment, sports, food, and shopping. Yeah, fuck New York.
Well, you know what? Atlantic City should be taking a lesson.
Yeah, Atlantic City doesn't have sports.
Yeah.
Atlantic City doesn't have that type of shopping.
Yeah. You know, but Atlantic City's got to figure it out because, you know, everybody and their uncle is opening up a casino. As a matter of fact, they're going to be passing one here in the island in about 10 minutes. It's an absolute gold mine, you know. So, you know, Atlantic City's got to try to be as proactive as Vegas is.
I did like the old slogan. I thought the old slogan was great.
I loved it.
I would not have changed it, but I think the new slogan's all right. You know, it's all right.
Yeah.
So we came up with a few of our own, which I don't know if they're going to accept since they've already settled on it. I'll read mine and then you read yours. All right.
All right.
So I wrote, "What happens here is going to need medicine to clear it up." Don't know if they're going to accept that. The other one I wrote is, what happens here is going to cost you half your stuff. Because there's a lot of prostitution in Nevada. Or you could lose it at the gambling. So I feel like those are good, but they probably will not be used. What do you have?
Vegas. Hey, what are the odds?
Huh.
Then you have Vegas. The loss will be in your wallet. I got two more.
Okay.
Vegas, come for fun, leave in shame. And Vegas, when you were banned from AC.
There you go. Nobody gets banned from AC. They'll take anybody at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
So I feel like we're not going to be doing the Afterbirth show because I feel like Pip is going to be dead on my couch. So...
I'm sorry. It looked like from the homeless shelter.
It's just, it's fucking unbelievable. She's been sick in one way or another for 5 weeks. Ugh. You know, like, I feel like at that point you should get, like, cancer. Like, I there should be a real fucking problem.
Oh, brother, really? You wishing cancer on a co-host? Really?
No, not at all. But I feel like if you're going to go through that type of trouble, you should have something that at least garner your sympathy, not being downed by a chicken salad sandwich. You know.
Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay.
So what I'm going to do is... Go on.
We gotta get her a nutritionist.
You think?
Yeah.
Healthy food doesn't want to go there.
I think we have to have a staff nutritionist for her.
Listen, we're not the only one. She's not the only one that could use a nutritionist on this show.
Yes. Yeah,
sure. We should
get one. So come what? On the show and have them analyze us. Just tell us what we're doing wrong.
We don't have that type of money. Anyway. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to do the AfterBuzz show. I'm going to do the story with you, and then we'll take our break, and I guess you and I will do the Scamming Scammers, the two of us. But I'll do the – so I'm going to skip the AfterBuzz show. I'm going to do this story about the dental assistant who may or may not have been fired for being pro-Trump. So a Trump supporter from Wisconsin claims she was booted from her job over her Facebook posts supporting the president. Robin Polak, 35, of South Milwaukee, posted an article from the Conservative Daily Wire website praising Trump on Facebook Monday, along with a caption saying how extremely lucky Americans were to have such an amazing commander-in-chief. I don't care what anyone says, wrote Polak, who works as a dental assistant. A day later, Polak attended Trump's rally in Milwaukee and wrote MAGA 2020, again showing her allegiance to Trump. An earlier version of her profile picture also featured a smiling Polak with her boyfriend beneath a Trump 2020 graphic on her Facebook account shows. Those posts motivated a man to post a negative review on her employer's Facebook page, saying that workers at Precision Dental, MKE, in Milwaukee should not be spouting racist comments on Facebook, according to screenshot posted by Polak. And just like that, I got fired from my job because of some left-wing liberal didn't like that what I had on my Facebook, that I had yesterday on Facebook, Make America Great Again, Polak wrote. And he went out of his way to make a review of my work, Facebook, stating that I am a racist. What should I do? I filed for unemployment already. Calls to Polak's former employee went unanswered, but reps from the office apologized to the man who complained about her post. According to screenshots, I am so very sorry to have learned that this was posted. We are handling the situation in-house as we speak. I assure you that this office does not share those beliefs. Polak told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel she was later fired over the phone. She also denied being racist, saying she has black siblings and is part Native American. The office manager said it was for the review that they got on their Facebook page, but my name wasn't on there, Polak recalled. They assumed it was me because I'm the only Republican in the office. Polak was the practice's sole dental assistant. So that could be it. In a statement, the newspaper reps from the dental office said they typically do not discuss personnel matters, but denied Polak's claims. Precision Dental MKE believes dentistry is non-political, the statement read. We can confirm, however, that no employee has ever been terminated for their political beliefs or their support of the president or any political candidate. The company's website, meanwhile, had to set to private as of Thursday, and its Facebook page has been removed. WDJT... Hey, it's W. Donald John Trump. Report it. That's fucking hilarious. No fake news on WDJT. Report of that.
Every broadcast is perfect.
Perfect. Reported that Polak had also posted a meme on Facebook implying that former President Barack Obama was the leader of ISIS, but the image was no longer visible on her account as of Thursday. Do I feel like Obama was the leader of ISIS? Absolutely not. A lieutenant, maybe, but not the leader. No, she told the station. It's my freedom of speech. At the end of the day, it's my right to defend how I believe. The dentist's official social media policy forbids any posting that does damage to the practice directly or indirectly. Reached Thursday for comment, Polak told the Post she is now looking for an attorney to sue Precision Dental for wrongful termination. I feel like I didn't do anything wrong involving the company. Anything I posted was done outside of the work and off the clock. I don't think I did anything wrong. Well, the first thing is, despite what I think of many of his supporters, outright supporting Donald Trump does not make you a racist. So,
yeah, correct.
So what she so it's the leap to go with what she posted about her Trump love to saying she's a racist. You kind of missed a step, I would say. Even the Obama is part of ISIS, very fucking stupid. I don't know if that makes you a racist. That makes you a moron, but it doesn't make you a racist. So this person alleged that Polak was a racist, but I'm not seeing that from what we were shown here.
I'm not seeing that either.
Okay, so we agree so far. Then you go to the policies, the social media policies. So now we're talking about, is supporting a politician damaging to a practice? In reality, in this political environment, which you alluded to in the last story, it could be damaging. That being said, it should not be grounds for firing somebody.
We've seen
people lose their jobs for private stuff. I could see how it's damaging. I don't agree with it should be, but say if you're like in a if you know most of your people are very left wing liberal, if you're in a liberal part of town and somebody posts that, I could see people going, "Well, I don't want her working on my mouth. She's a Trump fan." I could see it, but I don't think that should be grounds for firing somebody. Go, "Listen, what she's doing on her own time is fine."
And it should not be grounds for firing. And it's going to, you know, and if we allow this to perpetuate, it's going to be a big problem where nobody will be able to say anything for fear of turning anybody the wrong way. You know, and you know, Gavin, I mentioned it on stage when I go into one segment of my act, and I said, you know, people see it with the people in the entertainment business, but I go, you're going to start seeing it at your jobs.
Oh yeah.
You know, with, you know, something you say about a coffee machine or something, and I go, and it's not going to correct itself till, right, you know, people during the day, you know, people in, out of the entertainment business start getting losing their jobs. I mean, it's starting a little bit, but when it starts snowballing, it's going to be a problem. And this woman has a making political statements on her Facebook page, which she's totally entitled to, separate from the dental practice.
Now what happens if she did like posted like something against Jews or African Americans on her personal page? I could see a company saying, you know what, I know it's your personal page, but that is damaging to our business. You can't work here. I could see that.
That's true too. Because she's posting, you know, derogatory things, something might be, you know, racist things, and it could lead to the business. But if she's only posting her support of the president or policy of the president, she has the right to do that, because it's a matter of opinion on policy. You should not be judged on a matter of opinion on policy. When it is something that is deemed racist, then that's a different story, because racist is racist. There's no arguing around that. So that's the two key things.
I don't know how we know that the motivation for the negative post was her Trump love. I mean, it could be, but I mean, it just seems like somebody would have had to go to her page and then know where she works. It seems like a lot of work.
It could have been somebody that, you know, that might have been a patient or something like that. Maybe she was saying some stuff and then, you know, went to her Facebook page, you know, when they got home and saw all this stuff. You know, it could have been something, maybe she was talking about the president or, you know, pro-Trump stuff while she was at, you know, while this patient was at the office, and then the patient goes home and sees that.
But see, that's the thing. If I'm the dental practice, how do I even know this person is a patient? You know, that's not established in this story either. I mean, because it could just be some random person trying to get Polak in trouble.
You get some of these people that, You know, you don't have to tell Joe Cumia. You get these people that go off the deep end and want to try to cluster your livelihood with stuff.
Yeah, but listen, so, listen. You brought him up. Joe Cumia says much more outrageous things than what Polak posted. You know. He and some of the people who he associates are less than stellar human beings. So he brings some of that upon himself. I know he's your pal and everything, but I've seen what he posts and everything. Yeah, what this woman, if Joe Cumia just posted, you know, what this woman posted, his love of Trump, and people went after him, go, all right, that's ridiculous. That's a little much. All I could see that this woman did wrong is just being a Trump lover, which is not wrong. She should not have lost her job because that's who she supports. Listen, I don't like Trump at all. But I don't think you should lose. I don't think people should be able to fire you because you support someone that I don't agree with. That seems very extreme and go down a dangerous road. But we do see. Listen, I've lost comedy gigs. There was this booker who I worked for, who is a friend on my Facebook page. This is a couple of years ago, and he was all up Trump's ass. He loves him some Trump, and you know, on my Facebook page, I'm not really a Trump lover. You know, I call it like I see it, but I try to be factual. But I don't love Trump. But because of that, he blocked me and he stopped using me. So I mean, it's happened to me. Yes, he does.
But I realize that's the way he debates. But I, you know, I like the guy. You know, and life is too short. So we kind of about a year and a half ago, we kind of made up. I said this has got to end. I'm not throwing away a friendship over this shit.
No, I don't think a friendship should be lost over, and I don't think a job should be lost over. Like I said, I got nothing. I don't have very many positive things to say about Donald Trump, but I don't think you should be deprived of your livelihood because you disagree with me politically. It's just. Then we're all going to think the same. That's what we all have to do. We all have to get along to go. We all have to get along to get along or get along to go along, whatever the hell it is. Is that really the country where you want to live, where everybody thinks the same?
It's not communism, but it's along this framework of communism.
It's fascism.
It's
fascism.
Fascism. If you speak out, if you speak your feeling about, a politician, how you feel about a party, and you're penalized. That's you're correct. That's fascism, and this is why it's important that this stuff gets nipped in the bud. If this woman decides to sue, she would be totally in the right to sue because it is a form of fascism. Your job should not be on the line of stating how you feel in an opinion that's on your page. If it's not inciting violence. Or derogatory, or anything to that effect.
All right, so we agree. We agree on this one.
Yes.
This woman
it's
should.
It's good when I call from the. It's good when I call from the car.
No, it's better when you're here.
Yeah.
It's better when you're here. It's better. It's best when you're here. And Pip is upright. She can no longer have a mayonnaise
prost. I'll be in studio next week.
Sure. Listen, you told me that last week. Slow down.
Yeah. Well.
I'll believe it when I see it. All right. I guess you and I will do the scamming scammers. Without Pip, what do you think?
Yeah, all right.
Because we got to do something for segment three.
Yeah.
unless you got 20 minutes of chit chat in you, and then I'll push off scamming scammers for next week. I can do that.
Not really. You're catching me off. You know, you're catching me short here. You know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. I apologize for how inconvenient tonight's show's been to you. You're a saint. You're a saint. What a lovely man you are.
A pair of balls. You're off almost the whole month. You call in when you're done having coffee in your business to listen to me applaud, and they're inconveniencing you. If we didn't need you right now, we'd tell you to go fuck yourself.
No. Still go fuck yourself.
But don't go nowhere.
Exactly. Go fuck yourself, but in about 20, 25 minutes.
Don't punch out.
Yeah. Exactly. Go fuck yourself where you are, but don't go fuck yourself so hard that you're incapacitated.
Right. And we watched you be on the wrong end of a debate, so we watched you fuck yourself on the show.
All right, we're gonna take a brief break. Play a song. Come back. Joe and I will hold down the fort with scamming scammers, and Pip will probably die sometime. Within the next, she's not even moving right now. I'm just gonna have the cat piss on her so she feels like she's at home, because I feel like that would be comforting.
I feel bad. You know, you gotta hand it to her. She is a trooper. She could have called in.
I gave her credit. No, she couldn't. No, she actually started feeling ill like an hour before the show. So pretty much when she left work, the prospect of coming here to do yet another fucking show made her so violently ill. I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
No, Pip's been, I gave Pip credit. Pip's been playing hurt since this whole year started. Pip's been holding it down, but tonight it all caught up to her.
I have no choice because I've been acting like a playboy since the second weekend. So I do, like I said, I do apologize to you guys. It's one of those things where shit just landed where it landed, and from people that pay my salary. So what am I going to tell them?